My brothers and sisters, the first reading and the gospel today present to us two stories. Two stories about fathers and sons, mountaintop, offering sacrifice, voice of the Lord. In one situation, we have what seemingly is a moment of a fulfillment, right? 12 years of fulfillment, God's promise that he made to Abraham. All of a sudden, now he has an heir in his old age. Finally he has the heir. Now he can live in that promise, right? But then all of a sudden, God says, okay, I need you to sacrifice your son to me. The moment, the present moment, this invitation of sacrifice must have been gut-wrenching for Abraham. The trust that the one who was able to give to him a son in his old age, beyond any natural means for this to come about, but by grace working in nature to give birth to this son, finally the promised one. The promise that God could also restore that life if it was taken. The promise and resurrection, the hope. Clearly we see that at a certain point, the heart of Abraham was set to do this. I can't imagine that his heart was set and God stopped him. You are not going to withhold your son from me. And now I return him to you. And they see a ram caught in the thicket. Now, you know who that ram is, don't you? Right? Or who it will be. Better way of saying it. The one who will take his place. The one who will take the place of all the firstborn. The Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. God will give his son in place of Abraham's son. Such is his love for us. And so we go from fulfillment of promise into a testing, an offering of that which is given, and then to receive it again. It's interesting because when we get to the gospel text and we seemingly have a flipping of that in some way, in which we have the apostles with Jesus, right? He's the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, who has come, the mysterious Son of Man from the book of Daniel, who's come and power and dominion will be handed over to him and all things will be restored in this one. But they see him in his humanity. They hear him preach. This is different. They see him work miracles. This is different. But they still see him in his humanity. And then all of a sudden, they take a walk one day. Jesus says to them, Peter, James, John, you guys come with me. The rest of you hang out here. Come on, I'm going to walk up to the top of the hill. And if you've ever been to the Mount of Transfiguration, it's not a hill. It's a mountain. And you get up to the top of it and you see the whole valley below. And there on that mountaintop, all of a sudden, everything that they've hoped for of who the Christ will be is being revealed before them. He's beginning to glow, right? As the Christ should. Hello, right? As the Christ should. He's glowing in radiance, the glory of God. The clothing now becoming whiter than anything you could ever imagine. All of a sudden, yeah, Moses shows up, Elijah shows up. It's like, this is amazing. This is everything we thought. And so what does Peter do? Okay, let's plant the flag. Boom, here we go. Here comes the headquarters. We're going to build the tents. Everyone's going to stay exactly where they are, right? We're all going to stay together just like this. And this is going to be good. And then not only that, then the Father shows up, right? Cloud appears, covers them. Can you imagine? And the shadow, like, boom, you're like, and then a voice from heaven, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Peter, James, and John. It describes them as terrified, like terrified excitement, terrified joy, like the irony of these two realities there in this present. And then all of a sudden, I can imagine them looking at Jesus like what? And him kind of like looking at him, kind of a wink, you know. You know, like, I mean, what do they do with that? They're like, whoa, no, Moses, Elijah, come back. voice from heaven, come back. We were going to build tents. We were going to hang out here. This is where we wanted to be, right? And it goes back to the way it was before. A little different, because I had this moment, but it just goes back to the way it was before. Mom, let's go back down the hill. No. Can we just stay here a little longer? Maybe come back. No, come on. Let's go. And this is a strange irony, right? You have two moments of promise and then offering a sacrifice and then promise and then normal. And then all of a sudden, here we are. And then now back to normal. You're like, what is going on? What is going on, God? I had my homily all laid out in my head, and then I showed up at a retreat for the Heart of the Redeemer Covenant community, and I heard confessions for 3 hours, and some of the ladies conveyed to me the theme for their retreat weekend was, who do you say that I am? And I was like, well, that's pretty cool, you know. Mary Magdalene at the tomb, she gets there, she's expecting Jesus horizontal, laid out, cold, dead. She goes there, and it's not there, not like that. And she's like begging the gardener, like, tell me where you put him, right? And the gardener's like, it's Jesus. He's looking at her like, hey, Mary, it's me. But he's vertical. He's alive. Not only is he alive, he's resurrected. He's beyond what he was before. Now he's beyond all of that. And she can't see him because it's not what she expects. Every time I hear that phrase, who are you looking for? I hear it from when I was up at Conception in the seminary. They put a musical rendering of the Passion of Jesus, and they would always have this bass singer sing the gospel part of the voice or of Jesus, and it would be like in the garden and all the things, and all of a sudden you hear Jesus say, who are you looking for? And so I hear that every time. Whom are you looking for? Do you expect him? My brothers and sisters, right here in this moment, in this present moment, not a second from now, not a second ago, right here, right now, God in all of his fullness is present. Right now, here, in this place, the fullness of God, all that you long for is here, in this moment, in this place, right here with us. And at the same time, there is an absence and a void in the hopes and expectation of things that you desire to come about. Can I get an amen? Is anyone hoping for something that's not here right now that you're hoping for, that you're longing for? As I'm making eye contact, people are putting their head down and they're like, yep, yep, right? Isn't that strange? In this present moment, we have the fullness of everything that we long for is here. God is not a second ago. Because a second ago doesn't exist anymore. He is not 1 second from now, waiting to break into the present moment. He is always here, right now. And at the same time, right now, right here, is all of your longings for fulfillment. All of the things that you're hoping for. You know what? And then I'll tell you this, God is not scared of your longings and your hopes. You know why? Because they're all for him. Like if you get underneath your longings and your hopes, if you get underneath your desires, it's going to point to one thing and one thing only, him. And he's not worried that you're going to consume him. You know, like, ooh, I don't know if I'll be enough for their longings or their desires. God doesn't live in that illusion. He is more than enough. He is more than enough for eternity to meet you and me and our need. So this irony, this present moment, the fullness of God's presence, of glory here with us in this place. And I'm saying that not just because it's a church. When you go to the car and you're at the stoplight and the person slammed their brakes on instead of going through the yellow light like they should so that you could follow them through and not have to wait in line. When that happens and you're there sitting in the car and it's idling and you're like, the fullness of God's grace is present right there, right then for you. Right? It's not just because we're here in church and that you're surrounded by a community of believers. Even in that moment in the car of frustration, the fullness of God's presence is there in that present moment. So then why don't we hang out here, right? Why don't we hang out here in the present moment? Well, what I said, there's also all of these longings and unfulfilled hopes. And I don't like those. So if I think about tomorrow, tomorrow will be the fulfillment. Right? Tomorrow those things will come and then I will be happy. Right? Tomorrow there won't be this emptiness and this void and then I'll be happy. Right? Tomorrow. There's a problem with that. I'll use the example of my own life. 3 years into my time in the Navy in a 6-year stint, 6 years of obligation in military service, God says, hey, I think you should become a priest. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that? I got 3 years left in the Navy. Like, I can't respond to that. I can't move with that. I can't do anything with that. No, you can't. Not now. 3 years from now, you can. I'm like, sure, I'm just going to talk to all my buddies about how I'm going to get out in 3 years and I'm going to join the seminary and become a priest. Right? Because they'll all understand and they'll all be supportive of me for the next 3 years. Right? It's going to be great. Longing for the time when I can get out and actually go to the seminary, respond to God's call in my life, then I'll be happy, right? Then this silliness of the present moment, the emptiness of the present moment will be gone, and I'll be happy. I get out, I had to delay a year because I didn't know whether diocesan or religious life, and so I go to college, and I'm surrounded by all these Catholic girls, and I'm like, Lord, I'd like to take hurt, I'd like to take hurt, I'd like to take hurt, but I can't because I got this question that I need to answer. So, once I get to the seminary, all right, I'm going to go to the seminary, go to the diocesan seminary, I get there. Now I should be happy, right? Because tomorrow's become today, right? I should be happy. Well, you know, seminary, minor seminary is like philosophy, right? It's like, major seminary, when I can start studying theology, the good stuff, right? The good stuff, then I'll be happy. All right, go to major seminary, right? I'm in Rome, for crying out loud. Right? Buongiorno tutti voi. Hey, it's all in Italian. It's wonderful. I'm in Rome and the Vatican, all of these great things. You should be happy, right? Yeah, but I'm not yet ordained. Right? You know, I'm not ordained. Once I get ordained a deacon, you know, then I'll be happy. Ordination of the diaconate, St. Peter's Basilica, laying on the floor, the altar of the chair, you know, my family, my friends, the choir in St. Peter's, it's wonderful, beautiful. And then a month later, it's like, yeah, but I'm not a priest, you know? This is like being engaged, waiting for the marriage day, you know? It's like, let's consummate this thing already. Hey, let's celebrate the Mass. Let's hear confessions. Let's do the things of priesthood, right? I'm like, I'm a holding pattern. Nothing against deacons, but most of them are married. They don't have to worry about that, right? Celibate chastity without the Mass. It's like, yay. Celibate chastity without the Mass, right? Just being honest with you. But once I'm ordained a priest, then it will be good, right? Do you know what they do to you once they ordain you as a priest? They make you an associate pastor. You are under the tutelage of some old Monsignor, and everybody loves Monsignor because he's the father of the family or the grandfather of the family. You're like this uncle. Right? The young uncle that's around, and like, hey, the cool uncle, and you're like, hey, cool uncle. They call you father, but they really don't mean it, because you're like the young guy. You're younger than all of them, right? I got kids your age, father. It's hard for me to call you father. You know, it's like, yeah. But once I'm a pastor, once I'm in charge, then I'll be happy. See where I'm going with this? Been a pastor. No, now it's 2 parishes in the country, driving 100 miles an hour, you know, around every weekend in order to do that. Oh, well, once I'm a pastor of a parish that is just one parish, and then I'll be happy. Oh, now you're one parish. Hey, now you're happy, right? No, because now I'm just running maintenance on everything. When I get a parish that's new and nothing is falling apart, then I'll be happy. See, my brothers and sisters, there's a problem when we get stuck in this mentality of happiness comes tomorrow. Because tomorrow becomes today, and if I'm not here today, no matter as things come, if I was to go back in time to the 22-year-old Anthony Willett, ET2 sailor on the island of Diego Garcia, and I said, boom, here you are, you're a priest, you're in a parish, you've been ordained 17 years, boom, here's your congregation. I would have been ecstatic. I would have been like out of my mind with joy. But when it came slowly, piece by piece, by piece, by piece, it was always, well, the next thing will make me happy. The next thing, when they're finally this and when it's finally that. My brothers and sisters, happiness and the fulfillment of all your hopes only happens now. Now. Not tomorrow. And not yesterday. Because who is here now with us? The one that you long for. The fulfillment of all your desires. Now. Only now, my brothers and sisters. And the terrible irony of the present moment is that you have the fulfillment of all things and the absence of things that you long for and hope for that are not yet here. The risk of being here now is to feel the absence of these things. And it's not just future things being fulfilled, it's things that you had or are no longer. I keep bringing up my dad. Man, God, you made so many homilies by taking my dad to you, right? I would love my father to be here with me right now. But it's not. And I can't live in yesterday. All I could live is in this present moment and feel that emptiness and that longing for the day in which he will be there again. But it's not now, not this moment. Whom are you looking for, my brothers and sisters? Are you able to find God here in this present moment with you in the midst of the longing and his presence? Because if you're looking for him and you're looking around him and you're looking for something else that he is not here, you will miss him. And you will imagine it will only be tomorrow when it's fulfilled. Only be tomorrow when it's filled. It will not be fulfilled tomorrow. Tomorrow, in the fulfillment of the promises of hope, must become today. And so where must we be? We can't be yesterday, and we can't be tomorrow. We have to be here today. We have to be here today. Today, my brothers and sisters, is the fulfillment and the absence. One day, all of tomorrow will come crashing in today, and today will be nothing but fulfillment of all of your hopes and desires. But that's not the today we live in. The trust in the second reading, that simple line that God says, he gave to us his only begotten Son. Is there anything else he's not going to give you? Like, if I gave you my only son, and then you said, hey, can I have your car keys? I'm like, here. I gave you my son, my only begotten son. Here's my car keys. Want my house keys? You know, what else do you want? I've given you everything I have. So I declare to you, all of your hopes, all of your longings will find fulfillment in him. Period. All of your hopes, all of your longings will find fulfillment in him. They will. Some will happen in this lifetime, some will only happen in the lifetime to come. But we have to practice being here. Now, today. Only here, today, now, is Jesus fully present to us. And these other things will come in, and they will go out. And if we're not here, where those things come, we will miss them. I've been ordained almost 18 years. A lot of that priesthood, I've forgotten that. I've forgotten how much excitement and joy I had about one day, I'm actually going to be a priest. One day, Father, I'm in the middle of an island in the middle of the Indian Ocean. I'm surrounded by a bunch of people who don't understand what I'm going to do when I get out. One day I will be a priest, and I long for that day to come. And yet, when it happened so often, it was like, well, what's the next thing? You will only find happiness and fulfillment in now. And right now is everything that we have in Jesus and the emptiness of what is yet to come. Do we have the courage to be here now? It's the only answer, my brothers and sisters, because if you're here now, then when those things of tomorrow come, and they are coming, my brothers and sisters, they are coming. When those things come and they become a part of today, you will actually be able to embrace them. You'll actually be able to rejoice in them. You'll actually be able to be present to them in the fulfillment and the joy and the happiness and the things that come in this present moment will be for you. Yeah, that's a silly question. Who are you looking for? He's here. He's here. Can we have the courage to remain here in the tension of all that is and all that we hope and will be? Because here is happiness and fulfillment.